Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
A little tiny worm.
Not so tiny.
About a half inch long.
That's not
tiny. In her eye.
Yes, but that wasn't...
In her eyeball.
Yes, in her eyeball. But it wasn't just the one worm. It was 14 of these worms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Colonization of her eyeball.
Exactly. They are spread by a type of fly known as face flies.
Face flies?
The flies...
Do you have to subscribe to that? Is it like the Facebook?
It is exactly like that.
Yeah.
The flies feed on the tears that lubricates your eye. So if you cry...
That's so beautiful. They feed on the tears.
Your tears.
That's so beautiful.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. We're at Chatter. We got Matt Kelleher, who walked here. We've got Tori Clark, who could have walked here. Michael Kornheiser, who didn't walk here. Nigel will run the board and do the news.
I use cross-country skis to get
here. Fantastic. We are... this is Valentine's Day. I will speak at length about Valentine's Day later and how much I hate it. But we have specials here at Chatter, which is Kids Eat Free, not the Murray kids. Murray kids pay.
Full free.
I understand that. I sent two kids to Murray. Murray kids pay. Kids Eat Free, up to two free kids meals with purchase of one adult entree. This is for kids 12 years old and under. That's 5 to 9 tonight. And half-price bottles of wine tonight. Wine and bubbly wine as
well. For the kids?
No. So we want everybody to come to Chatter. What do you want me to do? My microphone's no good. Yes. We want everybody to come to Chatter for
I teased this to my wife, Liz, and she said we would not be dining at Chatter tonight.
Why?
Well, it's very romantic.
That hurts the inheritance for her.
Exactly.
That hurts it. I am, in honor of pitchers and catchers reporting, everybody but Esteban Loaiza, I am wearing Nats gear today. I thought that would be a smart thing to do.
And it's also red.
We're not. Yes, it is red for Valentine's Day. We are not doing a show tomorrow in here. So if you want to come see us Friday. We're not going to be in here tomorrow. We're not doing a show tomorrow. I'm too old. I'm not, you know, 5 days a week of PTI where the money comes in and 5 days a week of the podcast, which I dearly love, but I'm too old to do that. And there's a chance, there's a slight chance, as Kelleher suggested yesterday, a slight chance that I go out and try and hit it in the morning.
Yeah, a little bit. Not too old for that.
No, not too. I haven't done that in a few weeks. So there's a slight chance. I'm not even going to look at my son to find out. He wants to do that. How did you do with teaching?
I will be watching Tiger, Rory, and Justin.
At that early in the morning?
I'm not sure what their tee time is at West.
Okay, because it's that would be like 8 in the morning here. It's 5 in the morning there. They're not teeing off there.
Might be on the range.
Yeah, you might be. You might be on the range. Did you talk the Murray kids on ISW, which is Independent Study Week?
Intensive Study Week, yes. Intensive. So this gets the Murray kids out of the classroom, gets them working with teachers they might not otherwise work with throughout the regular year. And it's a nice break from the regular schedule in this sort of dreary time of the year. So we had a podcasting group. We had three underclassmen, so 9th and 10th graders, pitching ideas, and this week they're going to create their own episodes.
And we have more Murray kids in here today.
Yes, this is a media-focused ISW that goes around D.C. visiting various programs.
Why don't you tell the people when you had ISW, which is a full week, and
it's 4 days.
All right, independent study.
Intensive study.
Intensive week. Independent study. Why don't you tell the people what you did?
For 3 years, the choir traveled, so we went to New York City, Los Angeles, and Nashville. But that was a service trip. You go visit hospitals and schools, and you sort of get to experience that lifestyle. The greatest ISW, though, I had was in eighth grade, where I made my own golf club. So I got to make a 5-wood. But for that, I got to study physics. I sort of was tasked with, you know, responsibly trying to have a plan, follow through with it, follow through.
Yeah, see how you did that.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
I was under the impression that your ISW was spent hitting golf balls.
That was in the afternoon.
Oh,
this is still a testing. 8 to 3 day.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that because it's like my child, and I'm so proud of my child. He is the only child of the last 20 years, and will be the only child of the next 20 to 30 years to never hold an internship. That was very good. I'm very proud of that.
I was focused on my studies.
Yes. Yeah. Like how to hit a fade from 210. How to hit one in there. All right. Let's start with we're going to have Barry Svrluga on in a little while to talk about the Olympics. But Shaun White joins Chloe Kim as big stars early in the Olympics because the wind is such that you can't ski. You can't ski at this point. He needed, unlike Chloe Kim, who had it clinched, mm-hmm. before her third mm-hmm. run, she could have gone out there backwards. It wouldn't have mattered. Or not gone at all. She didn't have to go at all. And she went and she was really good. Shaun White needed to post on the third one. He went 97.75 to win, and there's a controversy over the fact that I think he's the only person to ever get a perfect 100, and everybody says you can't get a perfect 100, and you're never going to get a perfect 100 in the Olympics. I don't know how much closer you get than 97.75. And so he becomes somebody, along with Bonnie Blair and some others, to win medals in Americans to win medals in three separate Olympics. I don't – like when they said he did a front cross 1440, I don't know what that means. But I appreciate the response under pressure, and I appreciate that he's 31, and everybody else in this thing seems to be 17. 31 seems he's like he That's is to that show what sport. I am to ESPN, like That's totally right. ancient, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing I think, even if you don't know that 1040, whatever the numbers are, he gets so high up out of the half pipe, and just moments before, minutes before, whatever. That snowboarder from Japan had crashed horribly.
Badly.
Yeah.
And every time you go up 18 feet above that lip, if you don't play it right, as he did in New Zealand a couple months ago, you land and he smashed his head on that lip, which they keep saying it's like, it's concrete, it's like concrete. So the courage...
Well, if it was concrete, it would have killed himself.
Well, it's like concrete because they packed the snow. The courage to go up there and do all of that stuff and come down again and also to sort of execute technically. I mean, even if you don't really know much about snowboarding, which
I
is
can't,
most everyone,
and I don't
you
know how you are, Tori. When they go up and do stuff, I can't tell the difference. Again, I said this the other
day.
If
they fall, you
if
go,
you
that was bad.
Fastened a cat to a board, I wouldn't. I don't know. I don't know the difference.
I don't know a lot of the difference, but you can kind of see who gets up higher, who gets the air, whose turns and twists seem to be cleaner. But Nigel and I were talking about it through the show. Halfway through that last night, you're just kind of going, okay, these names all sound like something of the jumps or the twists.
Yeah.
Sound like something from McDonald's.
The McTwist,
we got the McTwist. And like, come on, let's take this a little more seriously. But to your point, Matt, you're 17, 18 years old. You're a moron. Right?
Yeah. Right.
You will do anything. Yeah. You think you are immortal. So I get that. He's 31.
Right.
He did take a horrible fall not too long ago.
In New Zealand?
Right?
Yeah.
Yes, in New Zealand.
And the pressure.
Said he looked in a mirror and didn't recognize his own face. It was his face.
The pressure of the moment. And very uncharacteristic. The Aussie was third at the bronze. He was kind of trashing Shaun White a little bit, saying, I don't know if it really was a 97.5. He was nagging at the scores a little bit.
So then we learn also of Shaun White afterwards that he's involved in a sexual assault case and there's a settlement out of court. Mm-hmm. I had no idea about that.
Busy.
NBC didn't lead with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine because they want to make the
Olympics. That was on the Today Show, but they didn't lead the broadcast.
They want to make this all sweetness and light. You were angry this morning about the hockey.
Yes, because the U.S. women's hockey team, beating the Russians is a big daggone deal, especially in the current environment. And I, with all due respect to you sports people, I get it. Canada's their big rival,
you
and that's the big grudge.
Exactly.
But in the current context, that is a huge deal, and I think they should have made a much bigger deal of it. And there's a new woman in the goal, and she had a shutout. That was pretty phenomenal. So I was
Is Hope Solo on skates?
With those big Mickey Mouse mitts.
She'd punch somebody right in the mouth that came near the goal.
I was down there pelotoning this morning watching your sports center going, where is it? No.
All right.
Discrimination.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. What was big in SportsCenter, and what we'll get to now, is the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes.
Cleveland Cavaliers go to Oklahoma City last night, a very good team.
Absolutely.
Russell Westbrook plays, Paul George plays, Carmelo Anthony
plays.
They all play. They're a team that is considered a possibility to unseat Golden State in the West. Possibility, not probability.
And a team that plays well against good teams and not so well against poor teams.
Much like the Wizards.
So Cleveland is something they would usually get up for.
They put 148 on Cleveland the last time they played in Cleveland. 148. That's really
a lot of points.
Cleveland's bench, and now they got 80 guys on the bench.
Yep.
You have no idea who's on the bench and who's not on the bench. The bench goes for plus 31 over the other team. Plus 31. LeBron at one point scores 14 straight. And LeBron is clearly happy because he says, and by the way, he's out there at the end with Clarkson and with Nance Jr. So it's important to read the tea leaves with LeBron. LeBron coaches the team. LeBron says, here's who I want to play with at certain points in the game. And that's what is affected. LeBron says after the game, that group that came in, they want me to be who I am. This is an unbelievable endorsement and a slap at every single person who was sent. What LeBron is saying is, these cows I was stuck with for the better part of the first half of the year, they stunk. They didn't let me be me. They're the reason we lost games. I'm never the reason we lose games. Now you've surrounded me with people I like for a change. Now watch us go. Isn't that the message?
Yeah, I found it interesting as well that Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas, they seem really happy to be where they're at, Utah and
LA. It may be tough to deal with LeBron.
Better. And they've had good performance since they left. So that mix, for whatever reason, didn't work. And it matters so much whether LeBron wants it to work. If he's not engaged, everything flows through him and because of him. And so if he thinks this isn't going to work, which is what it appeared the 5 or 6 games before the trade,
it seems
he had sort of bailed.
It seems clear that even though Dwayne Wade is his best friend, that he thought Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade were poisonous.
He's jelly to LeBron's.
Yeah, just get out of here. Get out as far away as you can and as quickly as you can. And now, what makes me so happy is this is about Wilbon at this point in the show.
Everything's about Wilbon.
Wilbon, who had said many, many times, even before the year began, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah.
That Cleveland was not.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That Cleveland was done.
But also, last year, I think he said one of the other Cleveland or Golden State's not going to make the finals.
Right.
And then again this year.
Right. So and
you keep betting on that.
Right. I believe that Golden State and Cleveland will make the finals.
I agree.
And the interesting thing to me is, how will Wilbon explain how he knew this all along?
Mm-hmm.
How will he get in a position?
I have a theory.
What is it?
He'll say, I knew they had to make a change. That's why I was doubting them. But now they've made the change. This is the change I knew they had to make. So all that I said before was based on the old team. All bets are off now.
Well,
I have a new team.
But I think that I could say, because I do remember saying this, mm-hmm. that when the trade happened, I said, they're going to the finals. He said, no, they're not.
That's correct.
Because
he said they needed practice.
we actually do have that on tape somewhere.
That's correct, yes.
Matt, are there conversations like Inception, like 18 levels, and keep drilling down and down and back and back?
Here's the story of the show. Here's the whole story, right? It's a relationship show. Everything Tony says is calculated before he says it with... What is Wilbon going to say? What has Wilbon said? And how will Wilbon take what I'm going to
verbal
say?
Verbal chess.
There's nothing that he thinks about that he hasn't calculated what he thinks
well,
Wilbon's position is going to be and what it has been.
Mike is the same way. Mike says stuff before we go on the air that's outrageous.
Obsessed is a word I might use.
Mike.
In private, I might use obsessed.
Okay.
And amazingly, unlike Golic and Greenberg, and unlike Francesa and Russo, and unlike Patrick and Oberman, we like each other still. We're the longest-running married couple on TV at this point. And we do. We like each other.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, at the end of show, despite one host maybe being upset that the other host was a little late to the set, I won't name names, at the end of every day, everybody's happy. And it's an amazing thing. It really is.
And the show's good.
Big hugs.
And the show,
but smiles.
Yeah, and the show is good, even though when we look at the when I look at the show most of the time, I go, we got nothing.
Yeah.
We have nothing to talk about today.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
And yet the show becomes good, so I'm happy about that.
Cool.
We will take a break. We will get Barry's Verlugo, right?
That's right.
Now, it's a 14-hour time difference.
So it's 10 o'clock.
So it's 8 o'clock in the morning here as we record this. It doesn't drop in the East till 11, but it's 8 o'clock. So it's 10 o'clock at night there. So most stuff
Everyone's in bed at 10 o'clock, right?
In the Olympics?
Oh.
I don't know.
Just you.
I'm asleep. I'm asleep. So we'll have Barry's Verlugo when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a Squarespace ad, and Michael helps me out with this.
Right.
You can create a beautiful website to turn your cool idea into a new website, to showcase your work, to blog or publish content, to sell products and services of all kind, to promote your physical or online business, or to announce an upcoming event or special project and more. Squarespace does this by giving you beautiful templates created by world-class designers, powerful e-commerce functionality lets you sell anything online, the ability to customize look and feel, settings, products, and more with just a few clicks. Everything is optimized from mobile right out of the box. It's a new way to buy domains and choose from over 200 extensions. It's analytics that help you grow in real time. It's a built-in search engine optimization. It's free and secure hosting. There's nothing to patch or upgrade ever. It's 24/7 award-winning customer support. Michael, can you explain what any of that means? Because I don't understand it.
I think the biggest thing for our listeners is that with these templates, they make it, it's basically just plug it in, it's ready to go. All you have to do is add your own written word. They have the
Do you have to
copy.
Add pomegranate juice? Because that's supposed to be
They
very
have
good.
Copy already into the block so you can see what it looks like before it goes live. And you can make these edits in real time. There's no delay.
So we're encouraging folks to make it yourself, easily create a website by yourself, make it stand out with a beautiful website. The future is coming, sadly for me, because I won't be in it. Make it brighter with Squarespace. Go to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, not a failure to launch, when you're ready to launch, that was a Matthew McConaughey movie, wasn't it?
That's
use
right,
the
it
promo code
Terry Bradshaw
Tony.
Was in it.
Yes,
he was.
Wasn't he naked in it?
In a hot tub, I believe,
yeah.
With...
scary, Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates.
Scary, ooh, scary. Yes. Use the promo code Tony to save 10% off your first purchase of a website domain. Did I do that all right, Michael?
That was a great read. Nice.
Fantastic.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Brandon Bowker sends us in from Lexington, Kentucky. Here's something I haven't tried yet. How about some good old-fashioned noisy live rock and roll? Here are three tracks from A Parliament of Owls. It's such a great name.
It really is.
Live at the Paddy Wagon. This is 2010. Brandon is on vocals, blues harp, and electric guitar. The sound is audience analog, so it's pretty noisy. Feel free to play them if you like them more soon.
Yes.
And you can, you know, at the end of the show, you can hear this in its
yes, entirety. And this particular song is called Tom's Song.
Okay. Barry Svaluga joins us from Korea, where, as I said before the break, if it's 8 o'clock in the morning here as we record, it's 10 o'clock in the evening or 10 o'clock at night in Korea. The first question I have, because I have been through this, is are you wearing two watches? What time zone are you on? How do you sort of deal with your obligations in a time zone so much different? How are you doing that?
So all of those things are kind of correct. I keep my phone... My iPhone kind of automatically switches to local time, Korea time, but I keep my watch and my laptop time on D.C. time. And in our office at the press center, we have two clocks on the wall, one in Korea time and one in Washington time. But it is amazing. I've been here, I think, 10 days or something. It's amazing how difficult it is to kind of wrap your arms around, not the time difference, which is 14 hours. We are 14 hours ahead here, but kind of how that relates to work and workflow and what people are seeing there and what people will understand when they get up in the morning and what they need to know when they get up in the morning. I first dealt with this at the Beijing Games in 2008 when I had the swimming, and that was when Nigel's buddy Phelps was going yeah. for 8 medals. And, you know, the finals were in the morning. And that's so that they could be shown in prime time live on NBC at night. That's the same dynamic here that our good friend Liz Clark is dealing with figure skating, and that, you know, you kind of get up at 6:30 to get yourself to the arena because the big drop, the big event is not at 9 p.m. It's at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
And you're trying to almost constantly battle that and wrap your head around it.
I had that happen to me. I don't expect anyone to care one way or the other, but when you're working, it matters. What time it is,
everything.
Where you live, not where you are, actually matters. Let me get to one newsy story. How windy is it? I mean, when are they going to ski? How windy is it? They were showing on the Today program this morning that they evacuated Olympic Park because of gusts of wind. How windy is it?
So it's windy. I mean, and here's one thing about, and I'm not sure, there's an amazing disconnect when you cover the Olympics from how the U.S. is perceiving the Olympics, because you have no idea what NBC is showing or saying or not showing and not saying. So one thing that is true here is that the Olympics is more spread out than any, I've covered 8 of them, any of them have ever been. There are 3 distinct locations, and the very windiest place today was down by the coast, which has generally been the warmest area, and that's where all the indoor arenas are, hockey and figure skating and speed skating, that kind of stuff. I wasn't down there today. Things were toppling over, friends that I talked to down there were like, oh, the sand like just blows into your face and sticks there.
It's Gobi Desert sand. That's what they said on TV. It's from the Gobi Desert, which is not around the corner. So
not really. No, not really. Well, and the cold, they say, which we've escaped now, but the cold, which was the defining thing earlier in the games, is like on a direct path from Siberia. So you're getting
that's cold.
You're getting kind of walloped in a couple. Yeah, it was cold. It was really cold. That's what I wrote about for tomorrow's paper. Was kind of how the lead character here has been the cold and the, you know, not Chloe Kim or Shaun White, but the cold and the wind. So it's big time stuff. I do think that they will get the women's giant slalom off, which is what our tomorrow morning is and what your Thursday night is. Is that right? Thursday night over there?
It's so weird. Today's Wednesday. It's so weird when this happens. You don't. One of the things that happens when you're writing a column is you want to be on point. You want to do the thing that is going to give you the most bang for the buck. And because of the time change, you don't ever know. You're always sort of chasing an idea, and you don't ever know. I got really lucky in Lillehammer because I could write Tanya and Nancy every day. And if you don't think that's a big story, it's 30 years later, and there's movies about them. There's nothing yet like that, right?
No, not close. And you're completely correct. Now we are helped by the fact that we have a plentiful staff here, and we're going to have things generally covered. But you're right, Tony, and this is my first as a columnist, and so I previously would dutifully and thankfully take the assignment that I was given, and at the Winter Games, that was almost always alpine skiing, and that's what I was most comfortable with. I knew the characters. It's a big American story. Lindsey Vonn and Bodie Miller
sure.
And all that. Yeah, and Schifrin now. But now you're kind of obliged to figure out, where should I be? What is what people are going to be talking about? And today, you know, I went up the mountain to cover Schifrin's first race.
And it didn't go.
3 hours later, Schifrin's race didn't happen. And then you're scrambling again. So add the time difference into that. And I'm interested, from your guys' perspective, in an Olympics where the world is flipped and things, we are used to getting information in real time, and the kind of soap opera NBC Olympics that have been presented in the past are less and less relevant. Like, are these Olympics even registering at home? I have no sense of
that. I don't know. I mean, it is completely determined by a rights holder. It everything that Americans see is determined by NBC and programmers and producers at NBC. And what you're covering is every once in a while, what you're covering is what they're showing. Most of the time, what you're covering is not what they're showing. So you're writing into a wall of silence. Nobody knows, nobody cares, because it's all visual, which is why the questions I have for you on a personal level are things like this. What are you eating? Where are you living? I mean, I've gone through this, and I've gone through it in Korea. What are you eating?
Well, I mean, I'll only answer because you have expressed interest, and my default position is like, who the hell cares? You get to go to the Olympics for free. But I mean, in conversations, you know, with my family, and I FaceTime in my morning and their evening because that's the most convenient time. Like, they want to know that stuff, so I have an apartment near the alpine skiing. And by near, I mean being two bus rides away. That the quick one will take about 40 minutes, and the longer one would take about, I guess, a total time about an hour and 15 minutes, because they're two different places. It's a fine apartment. It is Spartan. The defining characteristic is there's one piece of art on the wall, and it is of two dirt bikers randomly framed. I have no idea what that is about.
So there's no Olympic Village for you. You're not in an Olympic Village.
Well, no, they're right. Correct. Liz and another colleague are down on the coast in the largest Olympic Village. But as I said, this Olympics is extraordinarily spread out. So we have 10 people spread out over three different pockets. One much closer to the snowboarding venue. My colleague Rick Mace and I are up here in kind of the mountains nearest the alpine venue, and then Liz and Chelsea James are down on the coast, and that's the right way to do it. And you see people when you see people.
But that also defines pretty much what you're gonna cover because it's hard. You don't have your own car. It's hard to get around. You are dependent on that kind of transportation. I asked about the eating when we were in Korea. Wilbon absolutely refused to eat anywhere but the Intercontinental Hotel, where he could be assured of getting food that he was comfortable with. I ventured into the real world and ate, you know, bulgogi and stuff like that, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. When I went to the Olympics in Barcelona, we were in the Olympic Village, and one of the things that I knew was that if I raised this sort of iron railing or iron sort of garage door thing every day, the sun would come in and it would be beautiful. Well, Boswell was there 2.5 weeks and didn't know you could do that and always complained about how dark it was. And I said, open the thing. And he goes, what thing? So the stories that you, Barry, the stories you end up telling are not going to be about what you covered, but how you traveled, who you met, what you thought of Kim Jong-un's sister. Did you get to the DMZ? They're going to be off sports. So have you done any of those things?
Yeah, so that's right. And I would like to... thank you for bringing up the latest data point of Wilbon and the Intercontinental and how the job of Washington Post columnist is different now from what it was then. So I have had bulgogi. I have had plenty of kimchi.
Kimchi was brutal.
I'm trying and trying and trying. In small doses, it's fine. But
kimchi brought me literally to my knees. To my knees. So, I couldn't.
Yeah. So you're trying to have an authentic experience.
Yeah.
You're halfway around the world in a country that you probably won't visit on your own. But it's also extraordinarily hard to escape the bubble and venture out because, one, you don't have any time. This is not a woe is me thing. You're here to work.
Yeah.
You're working
it's the job.
Around. Yeah, yeah. It's your job. And you know, what is the next thing on your calendar? How do you get to it? How do you plan for it? Do I need to go home and get some sleep? Can I go out for a meal? We have a night in Seoul on the back end of this thing, and I think that we will have whatever a grand Korean meal is, that last night in Seoul, we'll have something like that. I've had bits and pieces of it.
Yeah.
But you're also right, Tony, in that, you know, I went to the DMZ last week. That was the first thing I did. I went on a tour from Seoul. I thought it was important to kind of start the games off not by, you know, saying, here's Chloe Kim or whatever, but introduce the country. It's a very interesting and complex place. The fact that North Korea is involved in any capacity is somewhat fascinating. And it really, you know, I think every Olympics has a kind of overarching theme. Some are more important or weighty than others, and this is a really pretty interesting one. And that's kind of what my takeaway will be, more than, you know, even though I was really impressed by Chloe Kim, more than watching Chloe Kim win the gold.
Kim Jong Un's sister, undateable, right? Undateable.
I mean, I think you got to see who she's related to, and say, you know. Yeah. You bring her home, and Dad says, no, not her. Not her.
Right. Have you met anybody either very, very famous who you said, wow, what are they doing here, or very, very interesting who you didn't expect to be very, very interesting?
You know, I wish I had a great story about that. I mean, again, one thing, and you're right about what you'll remember from these things and what you'll think about and how you interact with people. If you get to a certain stage in your career, you know so many sports writers, and I know people who are dealing with the same issues and trying to figure out the same, where should I be, and is this the right thing?
Yeah,
and
yeah, it's hard.
We were in Turin, and we did, you know, you kind of like, you're all battling, and battling is, I just don't want to over-dramatize anything, but you're all kind of thinking about the job. And
no, let me interrupt and say this, so you don't have to say it. That when you are a columnist at the Olympics, your overwhelming fear is this: am I writing the right thing? Is this the right thing? I know I can write. I know this is interesting. Will I get an audience because it's the right thing? And that's how lucky I was in Lillehammer. This is a can't miss.
And,
can't miss. Tanya Mansi.
There will never. Right, exactly. And so, you know, you if Phelps in 08 was the right thing, Bolt has been the right thing.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, it's 17 days of the games that you're writing at least once a day, and then there's the lead up to it. So, and again, this is in no way complaining. This is the job, and I'm excited about it. But there is a, you know, the kind of idea of this as a foreign trip, and you're exploring the culture, and you're getting out and meeting people and seeing how people interact. No, you're not doing that. It's almost the opposite. You're kind of, you were kind of looking inward and huddling with the few people that you, not that it's a group think, like, where are you going? And we all have to do the same thing, but like, we're all dealing with the, you know, where should I be, as you said. And honestly, like, there's Dan Wetzel at Yahoo is one of the best columnists in the country. I haven't seen him in 5 days, and I'm kind of like, well, does that mean I'm in the wrong place for 5 straight days? Because he's probably been in the right place. You know, that's how you end up thinking.
It was always, where are Mitch Albom and Mike Lupica going? Because they're smarter than I about what is going on here. So anyway, all right.
Correct.
Can I ask one question to Barry?
Yes.
Barry, I'm just curious, is the topic of conversation over there being dominated as to whether the Redskins should place another franchise tag on Cousins?
No, I have asked. That's the one thing I've interacted with Koreans about, because they've approached me. And it's just, it's been really, really interesting. They've thought about some things. They've thought some Josh Doctson angles that I had not really approached.
That's fascinating.
So we'll talk about that when I get back.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Do your best to enjoy yourself, and know that we are all reading, and we're very thrilled that you're there and doing well. All right?
Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks very much.
Barry's Verluga. I've been in that circumstance. You have to not just trust your instincts. There's got to be one editor who you're really close with. For me, it was Jeannie McManus. And we said, no, this is it. No, we're going to hammer that. We're going to keep going on this. This is it. Anyway, it was great fun and scary at the same time. And at the time, this 30 years ago for me in Seoul, it looked just like Dallas, except that it had foreign lettering. You know, it was oddly lettered, because it had been destroyed 30, 40 years before that by a war. Mm. So everything had been built recently.
Right.
And that's, you know, metaphorically, I was able to deal with it by just saying, yeah, I'm in Dallas. I'm in Dallas. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Nigel will do the news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Coming out of a story about the Olympics, this is the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing. There's a better way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, and need to find the perfect gift, like on Valentine's Day, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. And me sneaking in Valentine's Day is a way the SeatGeek people will know, wow, he did that live and it was Valentine's Day. He didn't tape that. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person. And SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. To get you the most bang for the buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast will get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It's got that early Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young feel.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
I'm waiting for Neil Young. This is sent to us by Trip Franklin in Fishersville, Virginia, who writes, attached to this email is a song called Ship of Gold from a band who call themselves the Snakeskin Popes. That is a great name.
Great name.
The lead singer is my friend Ryan Schatz, a retired LAPD officer who recently moved his family from Los Angeles to Augusta County in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. He's not a little yet, but he gave me permission to use this song anyway. Use as you see fit.
I like this.
At the end of every podcast, all the music that we play is played in its entirety, and it is largely great. Michael, how do people send us stuff?
please send your music into the show jingles at TonyCornazzoShow.com. And this band's name, this is a top five band.
Snakeskin Pope.
Oh, easily.
That's yes. really good.
I have an idea for all the people who send in their music. It's an idea, and I don't want to execute on it, so don't ask me to.
Yeah.
We should have a battle of the bands.
Well, I don't think we're allowed to have live music and chatter.
No, I think... Oh, just anyone? You're not allowed. You own it. You could have it happen.
No, I think there's zoning regulations.
Yeah, ordinances and
you're
stuff
indoors.
Like that.
Okay, we can do it in my yard.
Do it after
okay, we'll do it in your yard with camels.
Yes, camels.
Yeah,
with
right?
camels.
Absolutely.
Chimpanzees.
So we are selling chatter t-shirts here live.
For how
we
much?
We expect these Murray kids... I know the families they come from.
Yeah, pony up for a $12 shirt.
$12 t-shirt, take it home.
That is very reasonable for a nice t-shirt.
Totally. That, of course, presupposes it's a nice t-shirt.
It is.
It's a great t-shirt. Get it signed by Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, I'll sign
Sell that online for about $40.
Make money. Boom. Turn a profit. Be entrepreneurial.
It's also the perfect Valentine's Day gift, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It really is.
It comes in Valentine's Day blue,
yes.
which everybody thinks of all the time.
Valentine's Day creeps up on you, so when you forget to get your wife something,
already? It's here. Yeah. It's
get a
Valentine's
t-shirt
Day.
For chatter.
Michael, what else are we selling on our website?
We have some new show-related t-shirts. We have the new TK knit hat, and now that it's going to be in the 60s and 50s for the rest of time. Great time to get a new hat.
2 weeks of this, and then it's going back in the sub-zero area.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right, so how do they do that?
Well, there is a link on our Squarespace design website where you can go to shop.tonycornazzoshow.com. Don't throw your hands up.
No, that's
in
good.
The
air I'm going like this. So give us more.
Sell.
All right, Nigel has news.
I do indeed. I also would like to point out if you do a podcast and you need a studio to record in, you can come here to the Chatter Studios. Just drop us a line at thisshowstinks.com.
Yeah, so you can pay.
Or is it thisshowstinks.com or TonyCornazzoShow.com?
I don't know.
It's one of those two. There you go.
The studio does leak, in fairness.
Yeah, it leaks if it rains.
Only when it rains.
And only in the corner. Only in the far corner, Wisconsin side.
Yeah, we've got podcasts in here all the time. In fact, At the Movies with Aunt Shanann is coming in later morning, as well as Bipartisan, which is a political talk show. So we'd love to see you in here. To the news, Mr. Tony. Before I start that...
And by the way, if you do a podcast, we will provide you with water.
Yes.
Yes, we will. You can have water.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Wow. You mentioned a food that you tried in Korea, which I was not familiar...
Bulgogi.
Yeah, what is bulgogi?
It's been a long time. It didn't kill me, and what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Is it meat? Is it vegetables? Is it a dish?
Yeah, it was a lot of that stuff. It's cooked... What I remember most about Korea, about the cooking in Korea... was it was a lot of it at night was outdoor cooking. People would just have little woks.
Oh, really?
And they would open up, they'd start a stand. It was a precursor,
street
I guess,
food.
Of a food truck.
Uh-huh.
They ate street food.
Street food. And that's what I ate, which is what you ate at college all the time.
Yes, so you had city chicken.
Street food. That's what I ate. Don't ask me what it was. Don't.
A lot of that
but
stuff.
But I will tell you that the smell of kimchi, which is fermented cabbage.
Still to this
which
day.
Which is fermented in the dirt, in the ground. I would try to, the column I wanted to write that never wrote was the Take a Whiff of Korea tour column, where you would
shocking.
Smell this
Someone
stuff and you'd be on the ground, take you to your knees sometimes.
To college basketball, Mr. Tony,
yeah.
A lot of interesting schools
I had
last
this
night,
one wrong. I had the UVA one wrong.
UVA beats Miami in a high-scoring game, 59-50.
It was 27-16 at the half.
Yeah.
Wilbon and I both had that
That's
wrong.
Right.
We thought Miami would win. Miami was 9-1 at home this year, losing only to Duke. UVA was 1-8 in its history. Going there, Jim Larrañaga had, because... Jim Larrañaga, now that he's moved to South Beach... He was an assistant with Craig Littlepage to Terry Holland 35 years ago, the last time and only time they were number one prior to this. And I thought all of those things would combine, and I thought Miami would win. I was wrong.
And the last time that Miami hosted the number one team in the country,
they lost.
They beat.
Oh no,
Duke.
They beat Miami.
Yeah, they
won.
Beat
yeah, Miami
Duke.
Won.
Yeah.
And this is when too much information hurts you guys when you start making these bets, right?
I was wrong.
For UVA to lose to Virginia Tech, so bad.
Right.
And it was a bad loss, right?
Yeah.
They had to come back and win.
And
it never occurred to me. See, you guys look at players and coaches and like, too much information.
Among some of the other schools, Oklahoma and Trae Young, they fall to Texas Tech.
Trae Young, they've figured him out. Trae Young was 4 of 16 and 0 for 9 from 3. They've lost 4 in a row. They're a sell stock right now. They're not a buy stock right now.
And how about URI? I didn't realize they were this good this year. 16th ranked team in the country, beat Richmond by almost 20 points.
They've won 16 in a row. They're coached by Danny Hurley. Arizona State is coached by Bobby Hurley. They're the sons of a high school basketball coach of renown.
That's right.
St. Peter's?
St. Anthony's.
St. Anthony's in Jersey City. Mm-hmm. They're really good, both of them. He just retired,
I think.
Bob Hurley. They know what they're doing, Bob Hurley Sr. Danny Hurley has turned down bigger jobs.
Yep.
And this kid knows what he's doing.
He was rumored for the Georgetown job.
Yes, he knows what he's doing.
And speaking of the Hoyas,
yeah.
Big win over Butler last night. How do you feel about that, Mr. Kelleher?
I feel strong about that.
At Butler.
NIT eligible.
At Butler. Let me say this, okay? That Georgetown is 15-10. And Maryland, which lost last night at Nebraska and has terrible difficulty on the road in the Big Ten, is 17-11. And Georgetown's 15-10 feels much better than Maryland's 17-11.
Georgetown has about three games, including the Syracuse game. And it's, you know, these games go both ways. But one or two possession games that they should have won. And if they turn two or three of those around, they got a chance at the tournament. Despite not top 10 out of conference schedule.
That's right.
And by not top 10,
I mean worst in the country.
348.
Yeah, worst in the country.
But you know what? It doesn't look that like bad of an idea now.
No.
To the NBA, which I know you're always excited to talk about, the association. Yeah. Steve Kerr was pushing back a little bit at some criticism for allowing the players to run the huddles the other night. He was basically like, it's an insane world in which everything we do is immediately picked apart and trying to create controversy. He's like, yeah, I'll probably do it again with these guys.
Okay, I am one of those people.
Yeah, back off, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, I am one of those people, and I love Steve Kerr, I do. I'm one of those people who said that if you were part of the Phoenix Suns, you would be legitimately offended by that. And I think that Steve Kerr, were he doing broadcasting, would have agreed with that.
Of course.
Would have agreed with that. And he can coach his own team. I mean, it's Phoenix Suns stink and the Golden State Warriors. It's important for him to do what he does. He's been masterful at this job. But it's also
true.
But
why do you care if he insults the Phoenix Suns?
Because we got to make
the
five
of
stories.
We have to sportsmanship.
We have to do five stories in the A block.
Yeah.
And that right. bubbled up. Yeah.
That was a good one.
And as Wilbon said, as he says of everything in the NBA, that was fun. That was fun.
Well, here's a possible story for your A block. In a scene reminiscent of the Yalta Conference, John Wall and Martian Gortat met privately last week to, as it says here in the copy on ESPN.
Why was this not in the Washington Post?
That's an interesting point. This is on ESPN reporting it, not in the Washington Post. They met to confront each other about where they stood with each other. And this is
after. Was Wall wearing sunglasses?
That is not reported in this. But we probably assume that he was.
Yeah.
This is after a tweet by Martian Gortat after a win over the Toronto Raptors, in which he said, "Unbelievable win tonight, great," in quotes, "team victory." Then Wall...
A game Wall did not participate.
Yeah, Wall did not play. And then Wall, you know, basically took some shots at Gortat saying, "I give him all these easy buckets and I feed him the ball all the time.
Yeah.
He should be happy when I play." So they met, and apparently they didn't settle everything. They need to continue.
They never do.
Yes.
Every time there's a meeting with that team, it's worse than before the meeting.
Yes, as it
of
says,
course it is.
The meeting, which didn't last long, facilitated the airing of grievances. So it was almost like a Festivus meeting.
Absolutely.
But sources say there's still more to work, still more work to
there
be done
is.
To fully repair that relationship.
Well, Wall is very hypersensitive. I think that's fair to say.
Yes, he is.
And the ability of these guys, and we know I love the Wizards, the ability of these guys to act like sixth grade girls sometimes.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Is remarkable. Yeah, aren't they busier?
No,
this.
The answer is no.
They
show up like an hour before the game.
Hey, and how about that DC Metro system? Fewer fires in 2018, but that does not mean that there are fewer blackouts, which they had on the Red Line yesterday. Metro blamed Pepco for the outage, but Pepco said, "No, sorry, we didn't actually have any outages."
Who blamed John Wall? Anybody blame John Wall?
Gortat.
There's a headline in the Metro section of the Washington Post.
Oh, yes, the largest story.
It says 2018 work will affect nearly all Metro lines. The readout is, two Red Line stations will shut for 45 days.
But that guarantees fewer fires.
Yes, it does.
Well, 45 days.
Yes.
What?
And by the way, there's also a period where the I think it's the blue and the yellow lines.
They mix.
Well,
they form
that's
purple.
Green. One place that you can go
green,
use that is to get to the airport. And that will be shut down for about 5 days. And I would list through all the different areas that are going to be shut down.
Well, we shut down Chatter for 2 days.
Right.
Huh. We got a metro across the street.
They need a sign like Nigel's sign over there. This metro has gone X days without a fire.
It literally is absurd when you list through all the different things that are going to be shut down and for how long. Ridiculous. For the next is seemingly like 50 years.
It's just ridiculous.
So glad they're building the Purple Line. I'm sure that will be problem free.
So unbelievably stupid. What else?
I know you wanted to talk about the passing of a comedian, Marty Allen.
Nobody in here in this room today is probably old enough to remember Allen and Rossi. In the golden age of comedy duos, where the highest form was probably Mike Nichols and Elaine May, but the most popular form was Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, where you'd have this sort of funny guy and this very handsome, great singer, and they would come on stage and they would play off each other. And there were a lot of comedy groups, Burns and Schreiber, and Marty Allen was with Steve Rossi. Steve Rossi, they were a second rate. And I don't mean that even disparagingly. They were, yes, Tori?
Was this Radio Days?
It's sort of like Radio Days. Okay. The movie Radio Days, which was fantastic. Marty Allen had a huge shock of hair and was sort of troll-like. But he lived to be 95 years old. 95 years old. And his signature line was, hello there. So Rossi would start the bit and Marty Allen would go, hello there. And then they would go into it. And this was a period of time in the 50s and 60s. This is how comedy was dispensed in America. You'd be on television. You'd be on Ed Sullivan or something like Ed Sullivan. You'd do 3.5 minutes, and the next thing you knew, you had a tour booked, and you were making millions of dollars. So
nobody in this room knows Ed Sullivan.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh,
keep going.
Ladies and gentlemen,
everybody feels young.
Nigel,
I
hope you've got something else to bring this newscast on.
Well, I just want to read this from the obit in the New York Times. During the 1964 presidential campaign, for example, Mr. Allen portrayed the ultra-conservative Republican candidate Barry Goldwater.
Who looked nothing like.
Although he made no attempt to sound like him, he began the interview with, hello there, and said he was confident of winning all 13 states. That's funny.
So, that is.
That's funny.
He also at one point on the Ed Sullivan Show said that he was Ringo Starr's mother. You know, he lived because his hair was similar to the Beatles. He introduced himself as Ringo Starr's mother. That was in the post of it.
This would be the thing that you don't want to see.
Oh,
on an airplane.
No, I heard about this driving in.
This is a flight, United Airlines 1175 from San Francisco to Hawaii. As passengers looked out the window, it was about 30 minutes before they were due to land in Honolulu. The cowling, that's the thing that covers the engine.
Just, or it's AC.
It could have been AC. Just came off the engine completely, and it started shaking in the whole plane. There's a big loud bang, at which point the pilot said, we're declaring an emergency. These are the words you never want to hear. Mayday, 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 clear the runways.
Yeah.
But everybody handled themselves well. All the emergency procedures were...
Wait. You could overhear the pilot say that? I'm surprised at that.
Well, they might not have heard that, but...
I'm surprised that that would be on the intercom.
I think what they probably get on the intercom is say, you know, flight attendants...
That's right. Prepare for landing.
What's the line
prepare
in Sully?
Prepare for emergency landing.
Yeah, head down, stay down.
Yeah.
Drink service has been suspended.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That's right.
One passenger who was an engineer was just taking pictures out and then tweeting about it and saying, I don't see anything about this in the manual. That looks bad, plain and simple, spelling plain, P-L-A-N-E.
I see what you did.
Yeah, he's cracking so puns clever. While this is going on.
Why is he doing that?
I don't know.
Nervous
reaction. Better things to do?
Yes.
I know what I would be doing.
Yes. Yeah. Feathers and talismans at that point.
Yeah.
Another passenger said, it was the scariest flight
of
my life.
Well, of course it was.
I can't imagine anything.
Of course it was.
The engine
blew up.
I've been on a flight where we took off from National Airport. I think I was going to Charleston. And literally right after we took off, they said, oh, you know what? Somebody left a door open. We've got to go back.
Yeah.
And the whole time you were in the plane, and there was no noise, no rattling. But you're thinking, this is it. This is how it ends
for me. I've been on two emergency landings like that, and oddly enough, I was not as crazed as you would think I would be. Because we were not that far off the ground.
You were in a coma from
but
the
But, I mean, this, you're over the water.
Oh, yeah.
You're not over a lot of places. No, you can't
emergency
bail out. I mean,
Sully's
can't see, that's
that
why
cockpit.
I like to see land. Land is important to me.
Yes.
Because I have this crazy notion that if there's land, we
don't we have a rule about plane stories in
don't
the
lie.
News?
It's only when he's near taking a flight.
All right, we will, but I'll remember this forever.
And, Dad, bulgogi translates to fire meat. And it is made of thin marinated slices of beef or pork grilled on a barbecue or stovetop griddle.
It's an outdoor dish, and it was
fire
fine.
Beef.
It was fine. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll have Old Guy Radio when we return. We'll talk about Valentine's Day and people's impressions of Valentine's Day. And Tori, who baked cookies.
Yes.
Baked cookies for everybody here, except that the...
And kimchi.
The people out there, the people watching the show, got this, and we didn't get it in here. No. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Indochino ad. Nigel, why don't you talk about how you did this yourself?
Indochino suits.
Even though for the Indochino people, I'm here, I'm reading.
Yes.
I'm doing it.
This is a personal testimony because I have gone through this process. I measured myself literally with a piece of rope and a yardstick, and it came back. It was the best fitting suit I've ever had in my life. In fact, I loved it so much, I got another one. It looks great on me,
yeah.
And it doesn't cost you a lot of money to look
looks
this great.
Looks great on you, Wang. Looks
it great on you. Great on me.
Indochino's the largest custom apparel company. They make suits and shirts made to your exact measurements for a great fit.
Great.
Guys love the wide selection of high-quality fabrics and the option to personalize all the details, including the lapel, the jacket lining, monogramming, much more. Here's how it works. As Nigel said, you pick your fabric, you choose your customizations, you submit your measurements, and you place your order. You wait for it to arrive in 3 weeks or less. You can shop online at Indochino.com or visit any of their showrooms across North America. And this week, my listeners can get any premium Indochino suit for just $359 at Indochino.com when you enter Tony K at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a premium made-to-measure suit. Plus, the shipping is free. That is Indochino.com, Indochino.com. Promo code Tony for any premium suit, just $359 plus free shipping. It's an incredible deal for a perfectly tailored suit.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
In honor of Valentine's Day, this is Old Guy Radio for the day. If people really want to feel young sitting here, this is Sam Cooke. Cupid. And when was this recorded?
It was released May 16th, 1961.
So that's a long time ago.
And apparently, Cook's producers had asked him to write a song for some girl they saw on the Perry Como show, like a song. Just write this so she can
Perry
sing
Como
it.
Perry Como show, that's a real
that's
current
back.
Reference.
Right, yeah.
Perry the Barber Como.
And apparently after they heard the song he wrote, which was Cupid, they said, actually, you know what, let's let you sing this one. And it was Cook that had the idea to have the sound of the arrow.
Yeah, so that's critical commentary. The only thing I would add is that Sam Cooke, and we had a Marvin Gaye song the other day. Sam Cooke, like Marvin Gaye, much too soon gone.
Yes.
Sam Cooke's range, this is a pop tune. Sam Cooke also did Change Is Gonna Come. Sam Cooke was great, really, truly
really was
great. And was dead in his early 30s, right?
And it's a bizarre story.
It's
at the hotel, and they don't know whether he was set up and murdered or whether there was some fight that he was involved in, but it was very sordid. He died, let's see, at the age of
32.
32. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, just brilliant. So I'm going to get to my hatred for Valentine's Day in a second, but I wanted to make sure to bring Michael in on this. Tiger, we're not doing the show tomorrow, and tomorrow is the first round of the tournament at Riviera, which... I have played. Michael has played. Matt, have you played Riviera?
Never played.
So you want to try to play Riviera? You can.
I'd like to.
It's very available. It's just expensive, but it's very available. It's basically, you can get out there and you can go unaccompanied. It's just a lot of money. So the question on yesterday's PTI was about Tiger, was make cut, miss cut.
It's interesting. This is the course where Tiger had his professional debut in the early 90s. And you'd think, being a California kid, he would love to play this very old school, traditional George C. Thomas track, but he's had a really bad track record here. And a lot of that, Jeff Shackelford has a really good piece on his website about some of the reasons why. And one of them was just that for the longest time, the two par fives on the back nine were true par fives. So it really took out one of his biggest weapons, which was just under par scoring on par fives. He's also struggled a little bit on these greens that can get bumpy. So I think he's actually going to play this week better than he has previously, just because the modern game with the distance and the sort of the bomb and gouge style has rendered those big par fives on the back a little bit more defenseless. And the scoring has definitely will favor his style of play. And if you look at the pairing, he's playing with Rory and Justin Thomas. This is something that plays into his hand. You have Rory McIlroy, who has played inconsistently in the States. He's coming off that miscut at Pebble. He played well overseas. But this is going to be a very Tiger-friendly crowd. We saw that at Torrey Pines. He's going to feed off that energy. And I actually could see him creeping up like he did to Torrey into a top 25 finish.
So you have him making the cut.
I do.
Yeah,
I think the first 6 or 7 holes will tell you how he's going to play the golf course, just because, you know, you have an opener that's essentially a par 4. Everyone will birdie that hole. Number 2 is a very difficult par 4 that plays over par. And then you have 2 of the more interesting par 5s in number 4, which is a very traditional Redan-style hole. Ben Hogan famously called it one of the best, you know, one-shotters in the game. And then you have that famous number 6, which has the bunker in the middle.
Yep.
I think those two holes and that stretch coming up into the 9th is going to tell you how to play.
So the worry for Tiger that everybody talks about is that this is a very hard course, and it is not a wide and forgiving course. Mm-hmm. The driver, if you're errant with the driver, as he was at Torrey Pines, you cannot recover.
Correct, but they have made the rough less of an issue in recent years to get away from that. And he's always been really good with his iron approaches. So if you can get a club on it, I think he'll be able to hold the ball into these greens. And again, these are the golden age of golf architecture. So these have a lot more subtle undulations and little pockets to them than you might get at, say, a modern course in Florida or Arizona.
And he said yesterday it's winning time. That's his mindset.
I can't.
He was into losing time before?
I can't see him winning.
It hasn't been winning time.
Yeah. No, it's been a while. I can't see him
I still think he's a ways away from winning, but if you saw the way his stroke looked under pressure at Torrey Pines, he had a lot of comeback putts in the 4 to 6 foot range, and he was rock solid over all of them.
So I have a question for Torrey.
Yes, sir.
So last night, between the hours of 7 and 8, when there was nothing live with the Olympics, I watched a taped hour of the Westminster Dog Show from last year, which resulted in the best in show last year of a Shepherd, I guess it was. It was really well done. I really liked it. My dog, Chessie, if Chessie senses a dog across the street, Chessie jumps into the window and starts barking at that dog. When I walk the dog, she senses dogs. I don't even know that they're there. And she's rock solid. Doesn't move at all because she wants to kill that dog. But she didn't even look at the TV. I would say, look, it's the Westminster Kennel Club. Look, I mean, they're right up there. I picked her head up, stuck it next to the TV, and there's no reaction. Why is that?
One of the things about this is you think you never know where he's going with these questions.
You understand dogs.
Yeah, because I think Jessie's got a higher IQ than you do. She knows what's real and what's not.
Why are all dogs unaffected by dogs on TV?
I think if they are affected by dogs on TV,
when she looks in the mirror, she doesn't even know who the other dog is looking back at her. She's a dog.
No, I think it's the deranged, not very smart animals, like the deer who wander into Georgetown sometimes and see the reflection in the Ralph Lauren store and attack it because they think it's another deer. No, I think Jessie's very smart. She knows the difference.
Maybe she just wanted to watch the Olympics.
Well, we had to wait. I was explaining. Yeah. We had to wait until 8 o'clock to watch.
But I have a half pipe.
I have to recommend, if someone has not attended one of those dog shows, Nigel and I were talking about this before the show.
Dog shows are great.
Unfreaking believable. They make Christopher Guest's Best in Show movie look like they barely scratch the surface of these crazy people.
And that's one of the greatest movies.
To watch these women who are the trainers comb the dogs, comb, and then stick the comb in their own hair so then it's at the ready, and then take it out and lick it, and then go back to... Oh.
Did you see the winner? Oh. Flynn?
Yeah.
Bichon Frise. A little tiny...
Yeah, a little puffy.
Yeah, very puffy.
Yeah.
Very puffy.
Big, round, you can't puffy ever see head. Their feet.
Yeah.
You can't see their eyes or their feet. Was that an upset? Was that the first time that was...
They
ever?
Were somewhat surprised. I'm not sure why, but they were somewhat surprised.
I only saw him. Flynn.
I think it should always be a hound. I think a big hound. You know, something like that, like an elk hound or something like that, something really huge. No, so we can talk about that today on PTI.
Sure.
We're heading into, by the way, we are heading
into, get the dog.
We're heading into death.
Yeah.
Explain next week.
Well, sometime around September, they'll start to play football again.
That's right. Right around
is,
then.
Is from now year? Till then is the sort of the dark ages.
What? But next week is particularly
Well, next
terrible.
Week is better because the NBA All-Star game, and Tony doesn't even want to talk about the NBA.
Shuts down
next
the
week, they don't have any games till Thursday night, so no results till Friday.
They have no game.
Hockey.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
What else?
NHL. Have you ever had one of the dogs on?
We haven't. I think for similar reasons.
No, we've played.
Yeah, we talked
role
about
play
it.
With the dog.
We played role play with the dog.
It could work today because Michael is a big Wilbon is a big fan of the big dogs. He doesn't like any
He's going to hate this dog.
Yeah, so he will not.
He's
going to
scream that this is a millennial dog and it's an analytics dog and he hates this dog.
That's right.
Oh, he's going to go on and on and on about this.
Again, thinking what Mike's going to say first, preparing for what he's going to say.
All right, Valentine's Day. I hate Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day as a child was a terrible day for me because it always made me feel unattractive and unpopular. Because you'd in school, you'd give out Valentines, and I wouldn't get I get
and
one
it wasn't
or two.
Like today where every
you have
kid
to get.
Gets everything.
That's right. Because
this is a different
they
kind
made
of
us
show, Dad.
They made us tougher kids. Yeah. They showed you that you were a loser right away, and you had to fight.
So you get like the Valentines from like the teacher, just
maybe
to make
one
you feel
or
better?
Two, but not what I wanted. Not what I wanted. Did you have that?
In school? We had back when I went to school. It was you just picked who you gave it to. It's not like today. So I have young kids. They spent last night filling out whatever, you know. I remember my wife saying, "How many kids are in your class?" Okay, now we got to fill out that many Valentines so everyone gets one from everyone else. And now they attach candy to the Valentine, so that's really the big get is you just know that today you're going to.
Did you? How did you feel about Valentine's Day? I truly hated it. I never had a date. I never had a date on Valentine's.
Yeah,
Day.
not super interested in it. I never quite understood why at school you were giving out Valentine's to other students. I still, to this day, don't quite get that as a sort of public give everybody something Valentine's Day.
God forbid you should be nice to the people around you. I love Valentine's Day. And I loved it in grade school. It was always a big deal, the nuns, because I went to St. James. The nuns would help us build a box. It was like the Valentine's Day, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
And it would be covered with paper and doilies and things like that.
Yes, yes.
And a little slot in the top, and you'd put your Valentine's in there, and then she would read them out and hand them out. I'm sure the nuns probably slipped a few extras in for the less popular
kids. Was that
kids.
An all-girls school?
No, it was not. Okay. It was co-ed. Yeah.
So you name any names.
You had Valentine's. You stayed friendly with any of your former Valentine's?
From St. James?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. No. Michael, what was yours like?
I don't have any strong feelings towards Valentine's Day. When I think of Valentine's Day right now, I think of a great scene from Billy Madison, where Billy, an adult male, goes back into an elementary school classroom and celebrates Valentine's Day. It makes more sense to me for the kids, where it's basically just a community activity. That I understand. I don't like it as an adult married man some, you know, holidays trying to tell me how I should celebrate my marriage and my love. So for that reason, I don't do something big.
You got to go to Kay Jewelers.
You know what? I was mean to Michael last week, and I had to apologize to him. And so I can't be mean to him today. So
no,
I will direct this at your father. Whenever I hear a guy complain about the commercialization of a holiday, that is, I'm too lazy to get off my damn backside and go get something for my loved one. So get off your backsides. Let's end the show now, and all of you get out there and do something.
You're assuming we haven't already done that.
that's a good assumption.
This just reminded me of my own personal failure. This is the holiday I hate more than any other holiday.
Well, you
Not
know who grew
close.
To I was telling Nigel the story Not before close. The show. My mother grew to hate it because I grew up with five girls. And so Valentine's Day at home was my dad would go to the drugstore and get five of those Russell Stover's heart-shaped boxes.
I've got one home now, Russell
this
Stover.
This size, you know, very reasonable size. But my dad was a doctor, and he always work late. And so it could be 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night before he would get home, and we could get our candy. And we, of course, would not go to bed. And there were years I would hear my mother on the phone going, bleep, 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 and she was not a square. Get home. I'm sick of these kids. They've got to go to bed. It became very stressful for her.
Yeah. So, Tori, you're going to come over to my house tonight to babysit baby boy Bootsy so we can go out to dinner?
No, we'll take him with us where we're going. Just stick him under the table.
Good. Do you have Valentine's Day stories?
Oh, well,
does it remind you of your inadequacy?
Well,
which we are confronted with every single day.
Yeah, everybody knows about my inadequacy. Well, no, I was
in England. Do they have Valentine's Day?
We do, and I wasn't. You can't call it prison because you can't put kids that young in prison. It's more like I don't know, like a halfway house.
Yeah, reform school.
Yeah, and I like it because you would get an extra bit of mutton that day. And I remember giving I made a shiv and I gave that to a girl whose name I didn't know. She just had a number. It was inmate number, 5763 or something like that.
It's St. Valentine's Day, right?
St. Valentine's Day.
Did he didn't drive the snakes out of Ireland? That's St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
What did St. Valentine do?
He gave a little paper card to other people.
Yeah. Little heart
saying, "I think he even hit the 3-point shot." I think that was actually.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get out of here, and we will come back with a jingle and some email, and then for all the fine people out here, we will do pictures after the show. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Nobody sells it better than Michael when he does the reads. Sounds more professional than Daddy ever did, even when he isn't sick. I usually fast forward when Tony reads copy, 'cause he makes it sound like it's such a chore. Then I heard Michael sales pitch, and every time he nails it, he made me buy that shirt from the TK store.
Joe Arrow nailing it.
Crushing
Joe it. Joe Arrow just killing it. That
did
is
did you check
fabulous.
Out that knit hat?
That is fabulous. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say thank you to Barry Zwerluga of the Washington Post for coming on the show all the way from Korea. Let me thank our sponsors today, Indochino, SeatGeek, and Squarespace. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Brian in Washington, D.C., the last two episodes brought back some memories for me. I'm a Lynbrook High School grad, class of 1990, living in the 20015, not far from Chatter. I, too, got my bar mitzvah suit at Murley's. Nothing better for a 13-year-old boy than trying on suit after suit while my mother shouted, "There's too much room in the crotch!" Let's just say I have better memories taking the train from Lynbrook Station into the city for Knicks games and stopping at the White Castle with my friends on the way home. And yes, I know the Aloha Tower restaurant, but it had a different name when I was a kid. Thanks for the trip down memory lane. Haven't been back in quite some time as my folks moved years ago. Like the old days, I would love to go back to Eisenhower Park for some pickup hoops, but now I'll probably need a defibrillator and a lot of Advil. From Mark Larson in Salt Lake City, Utah. Interesting that Saliza mentioned the Olympic segment about that guy discussing the difference between the types of skates used for speed skating, figure skating, and hockey. Let's see, who was that guy during the segment? Oh, wait, his name is Steve Sands. Eat it, Saliza. Do we need to introduce you to the rest of the cast of the podcast?
La Chiserie.
From Neil Freed, longtime listener, and I'm sorry to say I'm personally embarrassed for you in carrying on about the atomic lighter. They're for littles, not Mr. Tony. Mr. Tony should have an Elon Musk flamethrower. No, this isn't made up. It's real. Yeah, not only will it light up your cigar in any kind of wind, it will also light up your favorite leaf blower. The machine, not the person, if so directed. Bad news, they're all sold out. Good news, you're on the wait list. I can't wait to hear you say to a little when they reach for their atomic lighter in your best Paul Hogan accent, "You call that a lighter? This is a lighter." I can't do that. And it's apparently true.
That's not a lighter.
It's apparently true.
Oh, yeah, it's a lighter.
From Misha Ben David, I've been advised by the City of Austin Music Office, yes, we have such a thing, that Mayor Steve Adler would declare Thursday, April 12th, Rabbi Misha Ben David Day in the city. I'm being asked to briefly perform for the mayor and the city council that evening during their weekly public meeting around 5:30. I've received this honor before, but this will be my first public performance on guitar since my stroke, and despite all the time and energy that I put into rehabilitating my body. My left hand is still not totally comfortable using a pick on guitar strings. I've written a host of new songs in the past few weeks and will select from among them to perform for our city's governing body. My performing buddy Molly Nye has offered to play with me. Isn't that nice?
That's great.
Isn't this nice?
That's fantastic.
Wow. He said, "I've also vowed to lose 10 kilos off my oversized frame between now and April 12th. April 12th, important in my house. 2 days before Michael's birthday.
Oh, there you go.
Check in on me and make me accountable. Good. Thanks. From Tyler Harper in Strathmore, Alberta. My five-year-old has recently gained a fascination of the planets in our solar system, as he has been learning about them in school. What has also improved, unbeknownst to him, are his jokes. He came up to me yesterday with a fact-based, non-ironic stare and said, "Did you know Uranus is a gas giant?" After seeing my efforts to stifle my laughter, he now talks about Uranus constantly, and it is hilarious every time. Only Wilbon hates Uranus jokes. They're all funny. Chris Eli in Dayton, Ohio. Dear Grandpa Hoff Waff, while listening to Monday's podcast, I heard Saliza talk about this guy. This is the same thing, describing the different skates that he used at the Olympics. Did anyone happen to tell Lace that there was Steve Sands? Maybe Nigel can introduce Chris to Steve the next time they're on together. As a side note, as I sat typing this email, the person I'm related to by marriage asked what I was doing. Me, I'm emailing Tony Kornheiser, my wife. You're weird. Ted in Richmond. Valentine's Day sort of snuck up on me. Can you bail me out with a shout out to Amy, my amazing wife of 22 years?
Is it here already?
Yeah. Wow. Eddie Yates, Wilmington, North Carolina. Just read on Twitter that The Shape of Water is being renamed Grinding Nemo. That's pretty funny.
That is pretty good.
Matt from Connecticut. Wait, today is Valentine's Day? That really snuck up on me. I'm really booked now. now. Please don't read my name on the air. I don't want the woman to whom I'm related by marriage to know she's not getting me undies, Sherry's Berries, or Volcanic Flowers. Dan from Lincoln University, Pennsylvania, and sometimes Bethany Beach, Delaware. Did you know that February 22nd of the year, February 2022, occurs on a Tuesday? 2-2-2-2-2. If there's still a podcast on that day, Michael would be doing it. A little over 4 years from now, Chatter could offer a 2-for-the-price-of-1 breakfast special. It might be more popular than Kids Eat Free on Valentine's Day. From Jeff Jackson in San Antonio, Texas, taking up like a Matt Kelleher theme. You think Winter Olympics are made-up sports? All sports are made up. Yes, they are.
Oh, yeah.
All sports are made up. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Honey. Stop the hammering. Stop the hammering out there. Who's got a hammer? Where is it?
Pictures.
Where's the hammer? Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering. Stop the hammering.
Brandon Boger over there on the harmonica, violin, and various other instrument vocals. All that said, round of applause. Thank you so much, Brandon Boger.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Too young.